fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with Dr. Mary Healy, who's Professor of Sacred Scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. She's the co-editor of a fantastic biblical commentary series called The Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture, and she's a member of the Pontifical Biblical Commission, and Mary has just written a fantastic book called Healing, Bringing the Gift of God's Mercy to the World. Welcome back, Dr. Healy.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm so glad you're here. By the way, what is the Pontifical Biblical Commission?
It is a group of 20 scholars from all over the world whose task is to advise the Pope and the Holy See on biblical matters, biblical interpretation. We meet once a year for a week in Rome, and we continue our work during the year. Right now, we're studying the topic of biblical teaching on men and women, marriage, and the family. And you can imagine why
timely.
We're... Yes,
very timely. Well, very good. It's a privilege to have you here. It's wonderful that you're able to be here. We ended yesterday's program. And friends, if you didn't have a chance to listen to yesterday's program, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can just listen to them on the computer or download them and put them on your iPod when it's convenient for you. But we ended the program talking about the issue about suffering and a Catholic understanding of redemptive suffering, if I remember correctly, and how that sometimes can be actually an obstacle to people being able to embrace and understand Jesus' full intention for the ministry of healing for the church. You want to share a little bit more about that?
Yes. I think as Catholics, many of us have a kind of a default position when it comes to sickness or infirmity, which is that if I have this sickness or if that person has this sickness, it's God's will. And the best thing to do is embrace it and accept that suffering in love. Now, there's a partial truth in that. Yes, we should accept everything in our lives as allowed by God for our perfect good, for our ultimate growth in holiness and eternal life with Him. However, that does not mean that our primary response to sickness and infirmity should be passive acceptance or simply being resigned to it. I think what God's plan is, what God desires as part of His way of maturing us and giving us grace to grow in holiness, is precisely that we would combat sickness and infirmity in faith in the power of Jesus' name, and that we would recognize it as something that is part of living in a fallen world, you know, the whole human race and all of creation being affected by sin. It's all sickness and infirmity is a result of the fall, and that the Lord's ultimate plan is to deliver us from the fall and all its consequences. And so, therefore, our first response is to fight sickness and infirmity and to pray with confident expectation that the Lord wants to heal. And we won't see healing all the time immediately. Sometimes we will. I think much more often than we realize the Lord wants to heal immediately. Sometimes there are obstacles He needs to overcome in us. Sometimes we need to grow in faith, but all of that is a very powerful and effective way of growing in intimacy with the Lord, in deepening our relationship with Him, and overcoming our own unbelief, our own doubt of God's goodness, our own very limited view of who God is and what He's like. As we fight sickness in faith, both for ourselves and for other people, we grow in faith. We grow in understanding who God is. We grow in appreciation of the immensity of His goodness and how much He desires the fullness of life for us. That should be our first response.
Yeah, so you mentioned a default position. That should be our default. That's good.
Yes.
I think a good way to put it. Why do you have so much conviction about that? How do you know that's what He wants?
Well, as I said yesterday, God Himself identifies Himself, calls Himself by a name in Exodus when He says, I, the Lord, am your healer. And then throughout the Old Testament, when the Lord gives promises of the Messiah who is to come, almost invariably, they speak about the Messiah healing sickness and disease. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame man will leap like a deer. And then when Jesus came, he fulfilled those prophecies. And in a key passage in Luke where he actually describes the heart of his mission, Luke chapter 4, when he's in the synagogue of Nazareth, he unrolls the scroll of Isaiah and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, therefore he has anointed me." And he's speaking about his own being filled with the Spirit at his baptism in the Jordan, to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at free those who are oppressed. And so he's saying the heart of his mission is to go into the dark places of human fallenness, sin, bondage, and sickness, and disease, and to bring the kingdom, and to proclaim the kingdom, but not only proclaim it, to demonstrate it by actually liberating people. And so throughout his whole public ministry, you see every one of the four Gospels strongly emphasize Jesus's healings. They're not peripheral, right? You can't read the Gospels and say, well, this is just a minor, marginal part of Jesus's ministry. No, it's practically his whole ministry, teaching, preaching, and healing. That's how they sum up his ministry. And as I mentioned yesterday, there's not a single person whom Jesus encountered and to whom he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, healing is not for you. You're called to just embrace the cross that you've been given. See you later. Do your best." No, he invariably treats sickness and disease as an evil to be overcome, not a good to be embraced. Now, we have to integrate that with the whole of what Scripture teaches, which is that until we do experience healing, we embrace it as a gift, not that God directly willed, but that God has permitted in our lives. So we embrace it with joy. But that's not incompatible with continuing to pray for healing. And that's where I think a lot of Catholics get stuck, because they know the value of suffering. They know that many of the saints have talked about how precious their suffering has been, how it, like nothing else, it humbled them, purified them, drew them closer to the Lord. And so therefore, we think, well, you know, if I really want to be holy, I shouldn't ask for healing. If I really want to be a saint, I shouldn't pray for healing. And I think that's actually a profoundly mistaken view. And I would draw this analogy. Think of the fact that of all the people in the world, there's no institution and no group of people that have done more than the Catholic Church to alleviate suffering. The hospitals all over the world, the hospices, the homes for the homeless, feeding of the poor, in all of those ways, and especially the medical ministries, the wonderful medical ministries that the Church has all over the world, are for the very purpose of healing sickness and alleviating suffering. We would never say to a person who comes to a Catholic hospital, for example, "Oh, I'm sorry, we're not going to treat you because you need to recognize that suffering is a great gift from God. Your sickness is a gift, and it's better for you if you just embrace it. Carry your cross, go home. So I'm sorry, we're not going to treat your cancer." That would be absurd, right? That would be absolutely ridiculous. Any doctor who said something like that, or any medical health professional who said something like that, would get fired on the spot, right? Yeah. We realize there's no contradiction between our recognizing that suffering can have great value and can do great good, and our efforts to alleviate suffering. They're not contradictory. So why then would we think that there's a contradiction between the value of suffering and our prayer for healing and our faith for healing? Why would we offer, you know, the best of medical health efforts to alleviate suffering on an earthly level and not offer people what we have supernaturally from God? That doesn't make any sense. God has given us both, the natural and the supernatural. Both are ways that he desires to work through the disciples of Christ to alleviate suffering and to bring healing and to bring people to wholeness. So we should never think that recognizing the value of suffering, that God is able to bring good out of evil, somehow means that we shouldn't fight sickness and suffering.
Right. Does Jesus command us to pray for
Yes,
healing?
He does. And that's something we should be challenged by as well in Scripture. Because if you look at how he commissioned first the 12 to preach the gospel, he said to them, "Preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But then he didn't say, "Preach in word only. Just give a verbal message. Give a very eloquent, stirring message." No. He went on to say, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. The announcement of the kingdom, which is Jesus Christ himself, is inseparable from the demonstration of the reality of the kingdom. The preaching of the church is never meant to be in word only. It's meant also to be in deeds of power that confirm and manifest the truth of the words. So he said that to the 12, and then later when he sent out a group of 70, which is anticipating the mission of all disciples of Christ, all Catholics, all Christians, he said the same thing, heal the sick. And then at the very end of the Gospel of Mark, the risen Lord says, again, preach the gospel to all creation. These signs will accompany those who believe. So these signs will accompany all Christians. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. So can we say that prayer for healing with expectant faith is not for me? It's only for a few special people? I don't think that's compatible with the gospel. I think this is the Lord's commission to every one of his followers. Now, that doesn't mean all of us are going to see the same results. There are some people who have a special gift for it. But I think all of us, if we continue to pray with a confident expectancy and to learn more about who the Lord is and how he acts, we will see healings. Sometimes we'll see miraculous healings. I mean, I've witnessed it too many times to deny it anymore, that just ordinary folks who don't have any special gifting, when they begin to pray with a deep faith knowledge of Jesus and a participation in his incredible love for the person in front of me who is sick or infirm, they see miracles. They see healings. And if the world ever needed it, the world needed it in the first century, does the world ever need it now?
Yeah, it really does. And as you're speaking, I'm reminded of when we first started doing mission work with Renewal Ministries. We were in Lithuania back in the early 90s, and an architect who was with us on our team came on his own nickel to be a part of the prayer team. And we're praying with hundreds and hundreds of people, and all of a sudden he was praying. He was down on the floor with a guy who had his right eardrum was blown out in Vilnius a few years earlier when the war was going on in the city and the cannon went off. This young man was standing next to it, and it blew out his eardrum. Mm. And this architect from Ann Arbor, you know, who just had big faith, prayed over this guy, and all of a sudden I heard this commotion. And there was this rejoicing, and you didn't know what happened down there because there's a big crowd. People were being prayed with all over the place. And he comes up, and his family comes up and said, you know, he could hear out of his right ear. And from the time it got blown out, obviously he couldn't hear a thing. And now the Lord restored his healing. And for us, it was a moment. It was just a great teaching moment for me, and it built my faith.
And think of all the people who witnessed it.
Yeah, lots of people witnessed
it. All the people who heard about it.
Yeah, and it was confirmed because people knew who he was and knew the issue. And it was just a flat-out miracle. It just happened, and it was for the glory of the Lord. And it was in the context of preaching that day and bringing people home to the Lord and giving people hope. So there's so much more. We're just kind of scratching the surface. Friends, Dr. Healy will be with us again tomorrow. But between now and then, just take some time to search your own heart and to ask yourself, you know, have I welcomed the Word of God into my heart and believing that God has commissioned me as a disciple, as a baptized person, to be able to go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit and to pray for those who are sick and in need. But tune in tomorrow again, friends. We've got a lot more in store for you. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.